What's going on, everyone? Art of the Game is produced by Student Media. Student Media is a student organization at the University of Evansville. To learn more, visit fireside.evansville.edu.
Yeah, make it look easy. Hey, stand up guy, boom, 10 toes. Big body pull up in a Range Rover. I could change the whole game when I say so. I pull up, shut it down, yeah, they know.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another episode of Art of the Game with your host, Arthur Hurst, where we sit down with student athletes to talk about the game of life. But today, we've got a very special guest in the building. We got the coach of the University of Evansville's men's basketball team, David Ragland. Thanks for coming in, Coach.
Thanks for having me, man. Appreciate it.
Coach Rags will be going into his third year at the helm of the men's basketball team.
Right.
How does it feel, man?
Man, it's funny because it seemed like it's been, like, really quick.
Mm-hmm.
But other times, like, man, like, that was so long ago.
Mm-hmm.
So it feels good, you know, feel like we're starting to really get our culture in place and starting to get, you know, the right pieces in place. So it's, you know, you want things to become a routine somewhat, you know, even though in life there is no true routine. But, you know, it's getting closer and getting more comfortable, and it's good to be home.
How's the summer going?
Good. Good. It's busy as well. The guys get back on campus here soon. Here in about a week and a half, 2 weeks, we'll be back on campus and we'll really wrap it up. But it's been busy with recruiting, you know, transfer portal, you know, guys going out, guys coming in. It's a lot of work on our end. Recruit,
yep.
And set up visits and, you know, get the right pieces. And we felt like we've done a really good job with that. As a program to this point, you know, we want to continue to do that, is get the right pieces, put them on the bus, get them in the right seats, and make sure we're heading in the right direction. So far, so good. And we have one scholarship left, and we'll make sure we'll fill that mm-hmm. with the right piece.
So as Coach Rack said, he is home. So how was Evansville growing up, and how has it evolved and grown throughout the years that you visited and now that you are here full time?
Yeah. Now it's grown a ton. You know, it's funny being back the last 20 years. I would come back. It was holidays, weddings, funerals, in and out. You know, so I wasn't around the city much. I didn't venture out much. Didn't see how downtown developed to what it is now. When I was growing up, it was not how it looks now. So credit the people who were instrumental with that. I know Mayor Winicky has done a lot with the development of the downtown area. Newburgh has grown a ton. North side's grown a ton. You know, going out to the west side has grown a ton. So it's just a city that's expanding. And it wasn't like that when I was growing up. I grew up on the south side of Evansville, you know, and rode my bike in every neighborhood there. And, you know, then ended up going out to Harrison High School, where I moved out to the east side, my family and I. And, you know, so that was a little different from the south side for sure growing up. You know, then ended up going to college, finishing my college career, playing and education at Southern Indiana, which is on the west side. Actually lived on the north side for a little bit as I traveled to USI. So it was, you know, I saw all parts of Evansville growing up, but just at different times. But it's nothing like how it is now. You know, all of them I feel like have developed, all have created opportunities. And that was one thing I hoped when I was younger, that there was just more opportunities, you know. And then the amount of minorities that are doing well, like, is very encouraging, you know, for me and for this community, you know, to the point that I look at now, you know, black head coach here at the University of Evansville on the men's side, black head coach on the men's side at USI, our, you know, chief of police is black, Phil Smith, our new mayor, Stephanie Terry, is black. You know, and it just, to me, it's not a race thing. It's more evolving. Our community is growing, evolving, more open-minded, which is really, really encouraging. Men, women, different races, different backgrounds, whatever. It really seems more welcoming being back as it was when I was growing up. It was very cliquish, and where you were is where you were. Yep. You dealt with, your people, and now it's more of a community and a city and a place for opportunity.
Speaking of UE and USI, when are we going to get that battle?
And working on it.
When are we going to get it, Coach? I was hoping to get it before I left.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to have to come back.
Yeah.
That's fine. We're
going to make you come back.
That's cool. Hey, I'm just waiting on it because I need
it. Yeah, we're working on it. What Stan and I both inherited was schedules.
Yep.
Usually when you set a schedule, it's not just for that upcoming year. It's 3-4, however many years out. We're setting a new schedule, this year with another program later to be announced, but it's a 4-year, home and home. Mm-hmm. Whenever you inherit a schedule, it's set in stone for a while. And, for it to make sense on both sides, we have to work through what we need to work through, but it's not lack of trying. We definitely want to do it. We talked about it a lot, from our perspective at the University of Evansville on what we would like to do to make it happen. And I know USI is talking, and hopefully all these individuals that are talking, we can agree upon a date, a time, and we can tip it up. And it might be outside somewhere, but let's get it on. We're excited about it. We are looking forward to getting that done, and I definitely have you back.
Mm-hmm.
And probably calling the game.
Oh, that ain't always that'd be fun. I'm not going to lie. That'd be special for me. Oh, your dad is from Columbus, Ohio.
Correct.
Go Buckeyes.
Yeah.
Your mom is from Princeton, Ohio, Indiana.
Yeah.
How did they meet?
Yeah. So they met at Vincennes University.
Okay.
At the junior college, which was very, very. It's crazy. I look at it now, and I look at Vincennes University, which is my second stopping spot as a coach.
Mm-hmm.
I was first hired by Eric Sullivan, who just got a head coaching job at high school, which congratulations to him on that. But I came to Vincennes as an assistant and was there as an assistant for 3 years, then became the head coach.
Yep.
And again, my parents, when I became the head coach there, they would walk on campus and say where they met, and had all the stories and this and that. And then, my journey from, year two to year 18, was, Terre Haute, Indiana State, was, Bowling or Northern Kentucky, Bowling Green, Valparaiso, Utah State, Butler. Then I come back home where my parents lived for 40 years before my dad passed away. And it's all full circle, so the two places I've been a head coach are, number one, where my parents met, and then number two, where my parents lived, for 40 years. So,
it's like destiny.
It is.
It's like you, it was, this was, is yeah. this was meant to be.
Absolutely. And he passed from pancreatic cancer, which, I wear the purple wristband. So, purple was his color.
Mm-hmm.
He always said, I'm living with cancer, not dying from it. And he would attack life every day, in a way where you're like, man, if this dude can be this happy knowing that he's dealing what he's dealing with, why can't I? But just being back in Evansville, wearing purple, which happened to be, his color, is like you said, destiny.
How did it feel to see UE honor your father the way that they did?
Yeah, I thought that was awesome, man. That felt really, really good. It's honoring him, is honoring a lot of individuals. A lot of people are going through the fight, and I think everyone's affected, somehow, some way. It could be, you know, uncle, you know, an aunt, grandma, grandpa, mother, father, whatever. I think everyone's affected by it. But to take the time to, you know, just reflect and, you know, I know every day he's watching. You know, I do feel his presence more and more now. You know, being back in Evansville and the years that he was gone and not being back here, you know, and I know he's watching. I know he's celebrating and the victories and, you know, there with me putting the arm on my shoulder, you know, in the defeats. But very, very appreciative to our team, you know, here, you know, all the people who were part of putting that together and honoring my father and honoring all the individuals who have been through some type of cancer or going through, you know, treatments and going to their bout, you know, but again, it's a symbol of like resilience and fight and togetherness that, you know, regardless of you going through any kind of illness or, you know, whatever your struggle is, you always have somebody there with you. And, you know, I felt really good about being able to do that.
Do you have any siblings?
I do. Yeah, I have three siblings. I have an older brother who is Daryl Ragland, Daryl Anthony Ragland. I'm putting his whole government out there. Daryl Anthony Ragland Jr.
Mm-hmm.
He goes by DJ. You know, so it's weird having DJ Ballantyne back. You know, I'm talking to DJ, talking about DJ. We've got to check
which one.
He's the oldest. Then my sister, which he lives here. And then my sister, Chanel Ragland, now Refuge, is married, lives in Atlanta with her husband, Troy. And then my younger brother, Brandon, is now living in Cincinnati. You know, so it's cool going, playing Cincinnati last year, being able to go there and having there a lot of family there representing, but him as well. So it's four of us.
What were some of the fundamental things that your parents really displayed on the four of you guys?
Yeah, you know, just treat people the right way, consistency in that, you know, not looking at someone's, you know, race or age or what they can do for you, you know, treat people right, you know, no matter what, you know, that's what that God created us to be, you know, and to live in his image is what we are called to do. And you got to do that no matter what, you know, no matter if you, you know, see, you know, something on the other end, like, you know, I'm going to get this if I'm, you know, this way to this person, just treat them right. You know, be disciplined in your consistency, you know, and whatever it is that you want, you got to work for it. And you have to be steadfast in that, you know, not letting anyone, you know, whether it's their day, you know, you can go throughout your day and something happen and, you know, just messes up your entire day. Well, don't let it, you know, you control that, you know, so controlling where you're at and knowing that things are going to work out for its good. You just have to have the right mindset and consistency and work ethic to make that happen, and it will. And just, you know, living a life, like, you know, a lot of people want to have a reputation. And that's not as important as what your legacy is. You know, your legacy is who you are all the time, no matter what. You know, but really just being a good person, treat people right, you know, working hard, and not having any excuses.
At what point in time did basketball implement itself into your life? Were there any other sports that you tried out?
Yeah, when I was eight, I was in it. You know, I was completely committed to, like, this is going to be me. Mm-hmm. This is what I'm going to do. Yeah, I did play baseball growing up to about age 12, 13. So I played that, you know, from 6, 7 years old, T-ball to, you know, 12. And that was fun. You know, I would always mess around in other sports, football, soccer, but never dove into them like that. you know, basketball was my love, you know, early. And I dove into wanting to be a really, really good player. And, you know, my work ethic showed early in my life, and I just stuck with it. So from 8 on, it's been like a part of me, huge part of me.
What are some of my early basketball programs or AAU things that you remember?
Yeah, so I played for Lakeview Optimist, which is known as LVO around here. It was like bitty basketball stuff. And, you know, we actually, you know, had all-star teams at age 8. You know, we were traveling, going to Florida and New Orleans and different places and playing teams from all over. You know, we won a championship, national championship, you know, when we were 8. A lot of friends that are still here. I know Chad Hurt is a baseball coach at Modern Day, and he's still around. He's on the team. And, you know, Nick Baumgart actually played for the Aces, and, you know, he's still around in the community. You know, the Keons, you know, everybody knows Clint Keon. You know, he was around, and, you know, Justin Skinner's around. Nathan Fleener, who's actually the head coach, for Harrison High School, was on our team. We had a talented team. Growing up, you know, I later played for the Y-Stars, which is a team out of the YMCA, you know, that we you know, put together. And, you know, Marco Monroe, who is, you know, now in the medical field, played football at Michigan State, was on our team. And Antonio Willett, who's still around in Evansville, was on our team. My cousin, Jeremy Taylor, was on the team. And Rashad Gold, who's a genius, went to Harvard, made straight A's, went to Rose Holman, made straight A's. Like, this dude's a genius. We had a ton of fun on that team. And
what was some of those experiences like, being able to go to all these places at such a young age and see all these different things?
That was great, you know, because, I've worked in, at the Y Cap and, different like after school programs, you know, a lot of times underprivileged youth. And I remember we would take them to, you know, like 4-H Center or to the pool or the ice rink or, roller skating, and, just take young people out of their environment. You know, like, man, are we still in Evansville? And, it opens your eyes, and, young people don't see much other than their surrounding. And to be able to travel to Knoxville, Tennessee, or Memphis, or, you know, Sarasota, Florida, or New Orleans, or all the places that we went, it was just eye-opener that there's more out there. And, you know, the opportunity to, you know, continue developing and growing and learning yourself more other places was just, you know, it. There were endless, limits to those opportunities. You know, you just have to be open-minded, you know, adjust, pivot, and do the best that you can in the space that you're in. So it was good to get those experiences, good to, just grow and see different parts of the country.
Who was your favorite player growing up, and in your game, were you trying to emulate them, or were you trying to be yourself?
Yeah, it was weird. Jordan is that's like no-brainer. Like, everyone loved Jordan, hard not to. But I loved Allen Iverson too, because he was smaller, like myself, and dynamic, and kind of changed the game of basketball with the crossover and, his gear, his attire, his quote unquote swag, whatever you want to call it. But, it was fun watching him at his stature just be fearless, just like his approach, his tenacity was like, all right, I want to be like that.
Yeah.
So I loved Allen Iverson. I was a big Penny fan. I had all the posters. I had all the little Penny stuff. I try to watch, point guards, especially as I got older, you know, to see what they were doing and how I could like piggyback my game off of what they did. So I was a big Penny fan for a while, but you know, Jordan was one. You know, Allen Iverson, Penny were other ones, and I tried to do what they could do, but within my the frame that I could.
What were some of the things that you took pride in as a player?
Yeah, just being a great teammate. You know, I tried hard to just be a great teammate, encourage my teammates, like let them know, like, hey, man, like this may not have been a great play, but there's going to be another one coming up. So just focus on that. You know, try to I pride myself in just the work that I put in. You know, I wasn't going to challenge anyone else to get in the gym or to be a good teammate if I wasn't doing it. You know, so I was a doer first, you know, lead by example, and then communicate to my teammates, hey, man, you can do it too. You can get to the adversity. You can be a good teammate. We need you. You know, so I prided myself in that. You know, early in my career, I probably prided myself more in, like, my speed and getting to spots, getting downhill, scoring in transition. As I got older, I understood defense a little bit more and the impact that that had in the game. You know, so I started to, as I got older, like embrace that part of it. And then, you know, just trying to be, have all parts of the game, but know when to expose that part of the game. You know, whether it's, hey, I know I can score, but is this the right situation, time, score, situation by the numbers for me to score or get the ball to my teammates? As I got older, the game got easier. You know, so I pride myself in just evolving, you know, as I grew up and not just sticking with, okay, this who I am, this what I do, it's got to work no matter what. And if the team doesn't like it, if the coach don't like it, if the play, that's on them. You know, I just had to pivot.
At what point in time also did you come to realize, like, I might want to coach?
Yeah, that was a minute. You know, that took a while. Like, I didn't really know. You know, one day one of my coaches at USI actually, you know, said, hey, Raglan, you know, I think you'll be really good at this. And like, we're on the court. Mm-hmm. You know, so I'm sitting there like, you mean basketball? Like, coach, what have you been doing, man? You ain't been watching? You know, he's like, no, man, like, you know, I think you'll be a really good coach. And I kind of looked at him like, where'd you get that from? Like, why do you say that? And kind of like what you talked about, you know, what did I pride myself on? Well, I wasn't afraid to challenge any of my teammates, you know, how big they were, how small they were, like, you know, how good they were. Like, I would challenge our teammates, like, hey, here's what we need from you. And I did it in the best way for the team. I was a really good teammate and encouraged, you know, my teammates, but also challenged them with respect. You know, and it came pretty natural. I communicated well with the players and the coaches. And, you know, a lot of times coaches or, you know, someone's trying to bridge the gap. Mm-hmm. You know, like the disconnect between the coaching staff and players could be, you know, just like inefficient communication. And I had pretty good communication to bridge that gap between the two. I just worked really, really hard. And I cared more about winning than anything else. And I would be willing to sacrifice what needed to be sacrificed to do it. So that's what started it.
How was Harrison?
It was great. You know, it hurts me a little bit that my kids do not go to Harrison. But I know it, you know, it's different now than it was then. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not saying it in a bad way or a good way. It's just different, mm-hmm. You know. That's what happens over time. Yep. But, man, I love it. So, like, to kind of walk into the halls as a freshman, you know, I'm playing freshman all the way through freshman basketball. You know, I told you I dove all the way in with basketball. So, you know, I'm playing my freshman year as a freshman. And we have a really good season. And then I go to my sophomore year just not knowing, you know, oh, I'm going to – go to JV with my buddies, get a chance to play with them. And I jump straight to the varsity and I'm starting. And I'm like, all right, this is different. And, to have that on my shoulders as a sophomore, to be, a key piece of what we were trying to emulate with, teams that have been very, very talented. It was a challenge, but it was a lot of fun. And to go from our sophomore year, junior year, we were okay both seasons. The senior year, going to the semi-state, winning 21 games, when they had just started class basketball, it's like, man, like we made it. We did something that, with all these teams, all the talent that's come through here, teams haven't been able to do. Some may say it was easier because we didn't have to go like all classes. It was just 4A, but 4A is quote unquote the toughest in our opinion. So, to be able to do it in the 4A and do it the way we did, I mess with my kids now. Like, the reason why you don't go to Harrison, because you don't want to look at my posters and all every single day. So I mess with them about that. But, we did some really, really good things and did it the right way, did it with some quality people, coaches and players. And but going through it then, it was a lot of fun, a lot of great memories. And being back home, it's great to see that there's still Harrison pride, with Andre being over there, their principal being, Tamara Skinner, who one of my high school coaches, John Skinner, they're married, so it's good to see good Harrison blood flowing over there. Running this game ain't a thing for me. I never switched up, no change in me. The only thing changing this season, you go against me, then you know that you tweaking, okay? Because baby, I'm him. I be on 10. Two-stepping in the party, I do not dance. Watch how I move, make it look easy. Counting up.